Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Well, hey, friends, so glad you've tuned in to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Leanine Heiss. Today's guest is Jill Savage, the founder of Hearts at Home and one of the women who has been hugely influential in the motherhood conversation in America today. We're going to discuss a transition that will face nearly every mother, and it's the stage of the empty nest. This can happen in waves as well. Kids going to kindergarten or college or when they get married and leave home. Regardless of the transition you're facing, today's episode will be so helpful. You can find the show notes with all the scriptures, books, and resources we discuss on the blog at the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. Hey, are you getting our e-blasts where we send you the latest resources and opportunities? If the answer's no, it's because you haven't registered on the website, and this is the week you want to do so. Many of us have kids heading back to school, and I know you're going to want to stay current with details about Bless Our School Sunday and new ideas for words and deeds. Head to the website and register, okay? Let's welcome our good friend, Jill Savage. Jill, it's so good to have you back. Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
It was episode 4, and we're in our 60s now, the last time that we were together. So, Jill, catch us up on who you are, in case our friends didn't listen to episode 4, but also what you're doing these days.
Yeah, well, I'm a wife and a mom. My husband and I live in Normal, Illinois. And really, my goal is to help people come to terms with the normal stuff of life. And so I'm really, really honest about that. The good parts of motherhood, the good parts of marriage, but the hard parts of motherhood and the hard parts of marriage and life in this broken world, but with the God who can do so much with our broken pieces.
Oh, I love that. And I really do think that when we're looking for honesty, we've been coming to you for years now. I loved episode 4. We talked about no more perfect kids and what that looks like, embracing, well, normal kids, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've spent a lot of time talking about knocking perfect off the stand, because that's just not going to happen. And that's not what God requires of us. But I know that we want to talk about the next season, because you've been in a stage of letting go. And you have written a brand new book called Empty Nest, Full Life. And it's back to school time, Jill. So picture with me, or reimagine, put us in that spot where you were when you realized the season of life had changed.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was really interesting because I became an empty nester in December when our youngest got married. So this was December several years ago. We'd been letting go. We have 5 kids and they range over 14 years. So I had been practicing letting go for 14 years. He was our youngest. He graduated from college. The only one that did that, by the way. And he got married 2 weeks later. So we kind of slid into the new year. My husband and I slid into the new year, and I was loving this empty nest thing. Like, wow, we can go anywhere we want and we don't have to arrange childcare or worry about somebody at home. You know, we just had this flexibility. Honestly, finances were freer because we weren't feeding so many people and we weren't buying clothes for so many people. I mean, all of this. So I'm just rocking along. And I get to August. I get to August. And all of a sudden, I notice on Facebook, people are talking about back to school specials, where they're getting this and where they're getting that and where they're buying things for their kids' dorm rooms and all of that stuff. And all of a sudden, I go, whoa, wait a minute. Like, this is my first August in over 30 years that I have nobody to get ready for school. And all of a sudden, the emotions just flooded in. and the tears rolled down my cheek. And it was like this delayed grief that I experienced, because at first I really was enjoying all that the empty nest offered. But when we got to that back to school moment, and I realized this is a piece of motherhood that I actually really enjoyed. Like I love to get the kids organized for school. I loved blessing them with new clothes and new notebooks for school. And so I really enjoyed that piece of motherhood, and it wasn't going to happen anymore. And so that's when I began to deal with the grief and the loss of this season, understanding that there's also some incredible gain, which is what we talk about in Empty Nest Full Life, but we cannot ignore that loss. And I think a lot of moms in back to school season is when they begin to feel that loss, as I did.
So well said. I imagine that I'll plan a party when those days happen. We have a covenant. When we empty nest in 10 years, we're going on a trip, just the two of us, Mike and I. But at the same time, I am pretty sure, I feel it, tears stinging my eyes, just anticipating that moment. Mm-hmm. I know that you had a scripture that really became poignant at that time, and it's where the book hinges, actually. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it does. So I was, when I experience deep emotion, and that's been a place of growth for me, because as I think I might have shared in our episode 4, for many years, I was a buck up mom, and I would really kind of smash down my emotions. But that's a place that God's been growing me probably over the last 10 years. And so I'm really embracing this grief. I'm recognizing, hey, I've got to walk through it. I can't stuff it. And but I open up God's word, and I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you got for me? Because I know you've got something for me. And I ended up opening up to the book of Ecclesiastes, because I'm in my head, I'm going, okay, where's the address for the there's a season for everything verses, And so I'm flipping through, and I find it in Ecclesiastes 6. And I'm reading through it, but I don't have my regular Bible. I actually have my Message Bible this particular morning. And I'm reading through that because I'm feeling like this life is, I'm dealing with a season of life. And I run across verse 6. So it's Ecclesiastes 3:6. And it says that there is a right time to hold on and another to let go. Mm. And in that moment, I go, oh my gosh. Lord, you have got to show me what it is that I need to let go of and what it is I need to hold on to. And we just had a sweet moment there with his word and, me just pouring my heart out with lots of Kleenex. And I would say over the coming days, weeks, months, and even years since then, God has really clarified for me what we need to let go of as mamas, and then what we need to hold on to. And so I built the book, Empty Nest Full Life, around that concept.
I think that's such an extraordinary prayer, too, that you were going straight to the Lord and asking, you show me what I need to let go of and what I need to hold on to. Because we can't, as mothers, make that decision ourselves. Have you ever sifted for a yard sale before? And it's kind of like you get rid of the stuff that you're going to come back around and use, and we have containers and containers of stuff holding on that we just don't even need anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I just felt like that. It was like this prayer I just kept breathing day in and day out. I would deal with a situation with my kids. And, maybe there was a disappointment, or for instance, one of the things is that I've discovered is every kid has a different pace that they want to connect with you in. And so I connect with my girls almost daily. Now, both of them actually work for us. And so, I'm doing that both for work, but oftentimes just for, talking about the kids, processing things. But I have three boys. And if I talk to one of them once a week, that's pretty normal. One of them once every 3 weeks, that's pretty normal. And then the other honestly, I have to do a lot of the reaching out. He usually responds. And so again, it was like, Lord, what do I need to hold on to here? Is this a hill worth dying on? Or what do I need to let go of? Okay, I need to let go of my expectations that they're all going to connect with me in the same way, or my expectations that we're going to, you know, that the empty nest and my relationship with my adult kids is going to look a certain way. So literally I'm breathing that prayer through those moments where I'm like, oh, I'm so frustrated. Why doesn't this child connect more intently with me? And then it's like, okay, Jill, what part of this do you need to let go of? What part of it do you need to hold on to?
So good, Jill. So you've already said we're going to be letting go of expectations, but what are some other things that the Lord directed you to let go of? Can you share some of those with us?
Yeah. Well, we need to let go of guilt. Every one of us have had imperfect moments. Not only that, but we have places where now we have a different level of wisdom. And if we were to go back and do it all over again, would operate in a different way. And so naturally we're going to experience this guilt. And it's like, no, we have to let go of that. I like to say that those places where maybe we feel like we failed, those were learning opportunities, because now we can look back at those learnings and go, yeah, I would do that differently now, but I'm going to grab hold of God's grace, and I'm going to recognize I wasn't a perfect parent then, I'm not one now, and I'm going to move forward and let go of that guilt. So guilt is another one. A third one is opinions, and we mamas have opinions. I mean, we have opinions about our child's appearance. We have opinions about how they're living in their life. We have opinions about the choices they're making. And sometimes our opinions are wisdom.
Right.
Absolutely. But when they become adults, they have to ask for our wisdom. And so we have to learn to let go of opinions. And this is a place where I talk in the book about a little phrase that I preach to myself, and that is pray, don't say. And because in those moments where I like want to give my opinion, it's like, Lord, nope. I'm going to bring this to you, because in that moment, honestly, my prayer, my influence in prayer is much stronger than my influence in words. And I have to recognize that. So we have to let go of opinions. We have to let go of traditions.
I'm sorry, Jill. I got back up again, because you need to say that for the people in the back. Your influence in prayer
is much stronger than your influence in words.
Mind blown. Yep. At any stage, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. And now traditions. Go ahead. We can keep moving forward.
So traditions, because we mamas are all about traditions, right? Especially at holidays or birthdays, or we've been doing these things as a family all along, and those become very important. But our kids eventually are going to be off on their own. They're going to start their own new traditions. They need to establish those traditions in their own new families as they eventually have families. And so we have to learn to let go of traditions. So like with me, it's like, okay, Lord, what part of this dealing with Thanksgiving or Christmas do I need to hold on to? Well, I need to hold on connecting as a family. But what part do I need to let go of? I need to let go of what it looked like in the past. You know, that's where that hold on, let go plays out. There are two others that we need to let go of. We have to let go of our child's problems. We have to let go of their problems. Man, this is hard. And I love what my friend Brenda Yoder says. She says, don't steal the struggle. And man, we as mamas want to swoop in and we want to save our kids from pain. But the truth is, we have to allow them to struggle. Some of our kids will have big problems, and we may even have to step away from those. We have a son that has some pretty severe mental health issues. And, you know, up until he was 18, we could dictate that he went to a counselor and we could make sure that he took medication and all of that. But we can't do that anymore. And so we've had to get to a place where we have had to lovingly detach, not from him, but from his problems. And man, that's been hard, but so very important, because honestly, we can love him well and we can love him better. We can love him well and we can love him better in doing so. And then we need to let go of idols, because honestly, as mamas, we don't even recognize it, but we begin to have some pretty big idols in our life. And so, for instance, the idol of worry, you know, worry is a worship of our circumstances. Sometimes it's the idol of identity, because we've, without realizing it, our kiddos have been our identity. Now, you know, nobody needs us like they used to need us. And so it's really important that we learn to let go of that idol. We have to let go of the idol of control, because boy, we as mamas, and sometimes we have good reasons for that control, but we will experience such freedom if we will learn to let go.
So good. And as I just think back over all of those things that you have said we need to let go of, that I imagine that casting those towards Jesus, who does not let go, is probably the safest place for us to turn. I mean, we can't carry all of that on our shoulders. We weren't made to.
No, you're exactly right. We were not made to. So we put it in his hands, and he does not let go, so that we can.
So good. Jill, this is not the end of your life. You're not, like, for you, I don't know what age you were when you ultimately let go, but I'll probably be mid-50s when I finish the release process. So That's not the end of my life. I don't expire at 55. Like, my job on earth is not done, right? I mean.
Oh, I know, but we as mamas start, we do feel that way, because we have been doing this thing, no matter if we have one kid or five kids or 10 kids, we've been doing it for a long time. And so we do feel like it's over. And I think we find so much fulfillment in it. Many of us do. Some of us honestly have struggled through the motherhood journey. Let's be honest. And some of us are breathing a sigh of relief. And I think all of us breathe a sigh of relief for some of the let go. I mean, we get tired of a sassy teenager. I think all of my kids, even the ones that weren't particularly difficult to raise, by the time they hit their senior year in high school, I was ready to say, yeah, it's time for you to head out on your own for just a little bit, you know? But yes, I think that, and that's really at the core of Empty Nestful Life. That's why I wrote the book, because I wanted moms to know, A, how to have a great relationship with their now adult kiddos, but B, hey, you've got a whole world ahead of you. This isn't the end of the show. You have an encore. And this encore has got so much possibilities. And so that's when we get into the hold on. I wrap it around in the book, grab hold of your new mission field. Your new mission field, what are you talking about? Well, who knows what, you know, issues your children are dealing with, but maybe suddenly, you know, I found that I have a new mission field of parents with children with reactive attachment disorder, because our son that has the mental health issues was adopted, and he was adopted from Russia at the age of 9. Well, I have this whole new mission field of parents who are dealing with, some still with that child in their home, some, as we are, living with them as a young adult, and it's difficult. That's a new mission field for me. You know, looking around and going, what am I not seeing, Lord? What opportunities are around me? Maybe you haven't had time to invest in your neighbors, but suddenly you have margin in your life that lets you invite someone over for dinner once a week, and you begin to invest in your neighbors because you suddenly have the capacity to do that when you didn't in the past. So we've got to hold on to that new mission field. We've got to grab hold of new passions. What are those things that 25 years ago you were so excited about and passionate about 30 years ago, but you had to put on the back burner? Because kiddos took over, life took over, and you recognized, you know, I can do all things, maybe just not all at once. Mm. And now is that season to go, wait a minute. I mean, honestly, a lot of people, they go back to school. They earn a certificate. You know, even if I went back to school and did a four-year degree, I'd have another 10 to 12 to 15 years, depending on how old you are at the time of the empty nest, to have that second career or that different career. So grabbing hold of new passions, I think, is huge.
So much of our identity has been wrapped up in motherhood. I mean, we even change our name to some extent. Like, we introduce ourselves as moms, but we respond to the cry of mom at every turn. And now this is almost a time of reinvention. It's not that that will ever go away. The mom title continues to remain. It's just that we're given the freedom to pursue other interests or God-given missions. Like you said, is there anything else that women should continue to explore holding on to during the season or grabbing hold of?
Well, I think we have to grab hold of friendship. And here's another, I mean, honestly, this is a part of grief too, the grief of the empty nest season, because it's likely that some of those friendships will change. I like to say in the book, we have a lot, when our kids are growing up, we have a lot of bleacher butt friends.
Yep.
Because you're seeing them at ball games and you're seeing them on the sidelines of the soccer field, and you grow these little relationships. But what really connects you is just the common activities that your kids are doing together. So suddenly, where you felt like you had maybe a full friendship circle, you don't. Or maybe you've struggled with friendship all along. And so now you're like, okay, I actually have the emotional capacity to maybe give this a spin, find a walking partner, meet for lunch regularly with a group of other empty nest moms. My hope, there's a leader's guide in the back of this book. My hope is that moms will actually decide that they're going to, you know, grab 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 women from their neighborhood, their church, their work environment over the lunch hour, and go through the book together. Mm-hmm. Because then that can launch that new season of friendship. We need to grab hold of our marriage if we're married, because, you know, this is a season where sometimes we roll over and look at each other in bed and go, who are you? I don't know. Because you see, we've had this buffer of children, and we've tried to keep our marriage a priority, but golly, we need to reconnect with each other in some new ways. We need to grab hold of God's hand, because He is not going to let go. He's going to be the one that's going to help us to navigate this season that I would call probably one of the most disorienting seasons of motherhood. Mm. But He knows the way. He knows what He's got for you around the corner. And we grab hold of His hand and trust Him to lead us on the journey.
Well, I think that circles us back around to prayer and the time that we spend with the Lord, focusing in on hearing His voice for this season. Jill, I know that you have been a Moms in Prayer mom, and that was a vital part of your journey. And I imagine that it's easy to think, I'm not in the season of kids in school, but actually, this is a time when you're freed up to pray in ways that you haven't prayed before. Can you speak into that at all?
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, you have. And of course, you may have been working full-time, and you still are working full-time, but you're not coming home and helping kids with homework and running kids here and there. So you do have a little bit more capacity to maybe meet with a friend and intercede for your kids together. As our kids have families of their own, I mean, we now have 4 grandchildren. And so I am now praying for them. Just the other day, I printed off something that I had found online. It was a Moms in Prayer praying for your prodigal children. We have several prodigals. I am interceding, specifically using my Moms in Prayer resources for those kiddos. So I just think that this is a season. We will always be a mama, and we will always be a praying mama. And we need to not lose sight of that, because that still is our job. And we may someday become a praying grandmama as well.
Well, I know you love being a praying grandmama, but I love that you are encouraging us to embrace empty nest, and that it's not the emptiest season of our life. It actually could be a season of abundance. And I know that's what we're praying for our friends that are listening. Jill, I imagine that there's somebody who has shared this episode and their youngest just went off to college or left the nest or got married, and they found themselves here and a friend sent them this podcast. So here they are listening. It's the day when they think, I don't even know what end is up. It's the disorienting time. What would you tell her to do today, just very practically, like a step to take to face today?
I would tell her to use today to take care of herself. Mm. Whatever she needs to do, body, mind, soul, spirit, where does she feel there's a dryness, or there is a place that she's not been able to really take care of herself? And I would encourage her to just choose one thing that allows her to just take that deep breath, kind of reconnect with who she is. And that will allow her to just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
So well said. Friend, would you mind praying for the moms that are listening, that are walking through this season?
Oh, Father God, we just thank you for motherhood. Mm-hmm. We thank you for this opportunity to influence, to raise, and then to launch. And Lord, the launching is rewarding, but it is also hard. And so I pray, Father God, that those places that we are trying to discern between holding on and letting go, you would bring clarity to. I pray for each mom that is listening, that mom that is listening today that's feeling a little disoriented, and that you would just be her true north, Lord. And that that as she seeks after you, lays out her concerns to you, continues to lift up her family before you, that she would begin to experience that peace that passes understanding. And Lord, that as she lets go of the things that have served her well in the past, help her to grab hold on to what you have for her in the future. And may that be exciting as she begins to explore what it looks like to have an empty nest and a full life. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Jill, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so grateful for friends like Jill who are finding words to help us navigate the seasons of motherhood. And I'm so grateful we have a God who journeys with us through them. Three quick steps for you as we wrap up. First, jump on our website and join a Moms in Prayer group if you aren't in a group. Today is the day to join us in fighting for the next generation in prayer, and that means our grown-up kids too. Second, share this episode with a friend right now. All of us know a mom who's in transition. It's easy to click share and send it in a text to a friend who may not be involved in a Moms in Prayer group. You can do that right in your podcast app. Most likely, it looks like an up arrow. Three, can you give? It's easy to give to support the life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer. Even $5 helps make a difference to help continue to see every school in the world covered in prayer. You can jump on the website or text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. We love being on this crazy ride of motherhood with you. Jump on social media and share those final fun summertime pictures or your back to school pictures with us using the hashtag Moms in Prayer. I see you and we'll be watching. Moms are making the difference. Moms who hold on and who let go. Moms just like you. See you next week.